Everyone take your Bibles and stand, please. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 30 through 36 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 3, verses 30 through 36. John chapter 3, verses 30 through 36. And again, we'll read this passage responsively. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath sent to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And let's finish on verse 36 together. Ready? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for our church, and thank you that the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. Lord, this is a church that I believe that you enjoy being at, that you're welcome to, that we've asked you to come to. And Father, please help us to focus, help us to just bring all of our thoughts and our mind upon the Scriptures, upon the preaching, and upon what happens here. Please change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
I read to you again this morning from John chapter 3, verse number 30, where the Bible says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." I'll get the sermon that I'll deliver to you this morning from that passage. I'll ask this. I ask that everybody settles themselves. I don't want us to walk in and out. This isn't a movie theater. I want you to sit still, turn your cell phone off. If it's an emergency and you have to step out, that's fine. But other than that, let's give our attention to the preaching of the Word of God. He must increase, but I must decrease. That ought to be the desire of every Christian under the sound of my voice. Today is a special day for me. I mentioned earlier, today I celebrate my 9th anniversary as pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. If you're a visitor here today, please allow us as a church to praise God for what He has done in our midst in these last 9 years. I call the sermon, "He Must Increase." If you're a guest here today, and or if you're a member, may I say you sit in a church where we want Jesus to increase. This church wants to lift up the name of Jesus. I like the name of Jesus. I like to hear it sung. I like to hear it preached. I like to see it written. I love the name of Jesus. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. We want Jesus to increase at this place. You say, what in the world does it mean for Jesus to increase? Well, I'll tell you this, you can't add to His perfection, that's for sure. You can. But if Jesus is going to increase in our midst, then we add to the things that His perfection requires of us. I want Him to increase. What does it mean if Jesus is going to increase at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? It means that He's going to get more attention. I want Jesus to increase. It means that He would get more praise. I think if Jesus were to increase in regard to our church and your life, it means that we would lift Him up more and more. We would glorify His name. We would demonstrate His mighty power to a lost and a dying world. For Him to increase, it means that we would want to increase the things that please Him. If we want Him to increase, it means that we would want that His desires be met more and more. We would like to accomplish His work. You see, if He's going to increase in this place, we need to increase that which we do for Him, that which glorifies Him, that which pleases Him, that which fulfills His will. We want Him to get more and more credit. Who is this one whom we say should increase? It's Jesus, God's Son. Who is it? It's the King of Kings, and it's the Lord of Lords. He is the greatest of the great. He is the strongest of the strong. He is our everything as we sing, and He is our all. He is from A to Z. He's Adam, the last Adam, if you will. He is in the Bible. He's the Advocate. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha. He's the Amen. He's the Angel of the Lord. He's the Anointed. He's the Apostle. He's the Author. He's the Babe. He's the beginning of creation. He's the Begotten of the Father. He's the Beloved. He's the Bishop. He's the Blessed. He's the Branch. He's the brazen serpent. He's the bread of life. He's the bridegroom. He's the bright morning star. And may I say, He must increase. He must increase. He's the captain. He's the carpenter. He's the chief shepherd. He's the child. He's the Christ child. He's the commander. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the cornerstone. He's the day spring from on high. He's the day star. He's the deliverer. He's the desire of all nations. He's the door. He's the door of the sheepfold. And I want to remind all of us, and He must increase. He is Emmanuel. He is the everlasting Father. He is the express image of God. He is the faithful witness. He is the first fruits. He is the forerunner. He is the foundation. He is the fountain that is filled with blood that's drawn from Emmanuel's veins. He is the friend of sinners, and you can thank God for that. And He must increase. He, Jesus, is the gift of God. He's the glory of God. He's God. He's the good Samaritan. He's the good shepherd. He's the governor. He's the great shepherd. He's our guide. He's the head of the church. He's the heir of all things. He's the high priest. He's the holy child. He's the Holy One of God. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the horn of salvation. And He must increase. He is Jehovah. He's Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. He's the judge. He's the King of Israel. He's the Lamb of God. He's the lawgiver. He's the light of the world. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lord of Lords. And that Lord of Lords deserves that in our life and in our church and in your life that He increases. He must increase. He's the man. He's the master. He's the mediator. He's the Messiah. He's the mighty God. He's the minister. He's a Nazarene. He's the only begotten Son. He's the Passover. He's the physician. He's the potentate. He's the power of God. He's the prince. He's the prophet. He's the propitiation. He's the purifier. He's the priest. And He must increase. He's our rabbi. He's our ransom. He's the reaper. He's the redeemer. He's the refuge. He's righteousness. He's our rock. He's the root. He's the rod. He's the root of David. He is the rose of Sharon, and He must increase. He's our sacrifice. He's our Savior. He's the second Adam. He's the seed of Abraham. He's the seed of woman. He's the servant. He's the shepherd. He's Shiloh. He's the son of David. He's the son of God. He's the son of man, which happened to be one of His favorite names that He used for Himself. He's the son of many, or the son of Mary. He's the son of the Most High. He's our stone, our rock. He's the son of righteousness. He's a teacher, and a master teacher He was. He's the true vine. He's the way. He's wonderful, and He is the Word of God, and He deserves to be magnified. He deserves to be lifted up. He deserves to increase. Oh, we want Him to increase. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church is all about. Don't you ever get caught up in anything other than the fact that we serve the King of Kings and we serve the Lord of Lords. When you do your duty around the church, always remember our goal ought to be that He would increase and that we would decrease. You see, as the Word of Christ increases, He increases. As we, as His children, as we increase for Him, He increases as a result. As His church increases, He is increased. As His kingdom increases, He gets the glory. We increase His praise. We increase His honor. We increase the glory that He deserves. Hey, as His Holy Spirit's influence increases, He increases. The church must go forward. You say, why? What's the big deal about the church? Because the church is to be sure that Jesus Christ increases. I said, you can't add to His perfection, but you and I can add to what we do for the one who is perfect. You can't add to that perfection, but you and I, we can do more and more and lift Him up higher and higher and glorify Him more and more in our church and in our personal lives. I believe as unity in the church increases, He increases. I believe as love in the church increases, that Jesus increases. I believe as holiness and separation among God's people increases in the church, that Jesus increases. Our ultimate goal is that He may increase. You say, where are we going with our church, Brother Owens? I'm not sure where we're going. You say, what's going to happen to our church numerically? I can't tell you anything about that. I know this. I know the primary goal of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church and its people ought to be that He increases and that we decrease. He deserves all the honor. He deserves all the praise. He deserves all the glory. He is the one. He's the one that it's all about. It'd be good for some of you to get your little petty differences off your mind and get back to exalting the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If I may, let me comment further on this thought of He must increase. You see, I believe this. I believe that in this way, in the way that if His increase has to do with us giving Him glory and our obedience and what we do to give Him the praise and the honor and the glory that is rightfully His, if that be the case, I believe that He has increased because of our learning of the Word of God. Listen to these verses. I say He is increased because of our learning of the Word of God. Proverbs 1:5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. You see, if He's going to increase, you and I need to increase. We are His children. There's that word increase. And it's talking about the learning of the Word of God. Oh, the people out here, they get in their worship services and they think that they know the Lord and they haven't spent a moment in their Bible and they don't know anything about the doctrine of the Bible and they come across like they're holier than thou. Let me tell you something. You're going to have to know the Word of God if you're going to glorify God in your life. It's not just some mushy emotional feeling. There's far more to it than that. He is the root. He is the root of everything that we ought to be. Listen to this verse. Colossians 1:10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. I say at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, in these 9 years that it's been my privilege of being your pastor, He has increased because of our emphasis on the Word of God. The big deal. What's the big deal? You say, Brother Owens, what's a big deal about trying to get a bunch of people in church? I'll tell you what the big deal is. When we get people in church, this church preaches the Word of God to them. This church teaches the Word of God to them. I really don't have any care about what the big attendance is. I travel the nation, people all the time saying, well, how many did you have last Sunday? No, that doesn't really impress me a lot. What I like is the idea that every one of them heard the Word of God. That's what it's really all about. It's that when we get a lot of people, there's a lot of people getting saved. What happens then? He increases. He increases. It's many people that get to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That's the big deal about reaching everybody that we can. It's many people then that learn to serve Him. That's the big deal about reaching as many people as we can. It's the many people getting to hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. That's the big deal about reaching many. Hey, it's lives being changed. That's the big deal about us reaching many. It's so that He may increase. It's been my privilege in these 9 years to preach 1,992 sermons to this church in the last 9 years. And you know what? I believe He has increased because we've preached the Word of God. You know, folks, get this. This is one of the most aggressive tract distributing churches I've ever met in my life. We have given out 128,000 tracts just through our church members in 9 years. 128,000 tracts. You know, there's only about 18,000 people in our city. If you figure that, that means all of them have about 8 each. And if they give them back, I could save some money in the next 9 years. They're everywhere. There are some places you ought not be putting them. I don't want to go in the stall and see one of my pictures in there. See, it's reading material. They've already read it 8 times. In the last 9 years, listen to this. This is uncanny. In the last 9 years, we have distributed 142,000 preaching tapes through this ministry. And 29,006, those are preaching, they're not preaching tapes, preaching CDs. Because we distributed 29,600 preaching tapes. And we've stepped up, and that's cassette, and then we go back one era further, and they were 8 tracks. That means with preaching CDs and the tapes, this ministry in 9 years have distributed 171,800 units of the Word of God, where those CDs and tapes are everywhere preaching the Word of God. He must increase. That's God's Word being distributed. We've given 5,200 Bibles away through our ministry. 5,200 Bibles. Folks, I don't know if you know it. You know, we have our website and people can go on there and they listen to our Sunday morning and Sunday night sermons. They can go on and listen to the sermon. This is almost impossible to believe. In 9 years, 226,441 people have gone to that site to listen to the sermons that we hear right here in this auditorium. I believe He must increase. The Word of God, if we get the Word of God out by that gospel tract, by that preaching CD, by way of the internet, and there's not a lot of use that I have for the internet, but I'll tell you this, you get the preaching out there, you get the Word of God out there, God will bless that. We have stood without apology or without excuse for the old King James Bible. There's no drama or cantata that's taken the place of the preaching of the Word of God in this church. We believed it to be inspired and preserved. We believe the Word of God. We have 41 of our young people that have surrendered their lives and started Bible college in the last 9 years. In Sunday school, we've studied every book of the Bible. Remember, Sunday school teachers, we started in the book of Genesis and we went all the way through the book of Revelation. We just finished up a Wednesday night series, 50 weeks in a row, called Practical Christian Living, where God told us how we ought to live our lives. Hey, Martinsburg Christian Academy, in 9 years, we've had 648 chapel services where the Word of God was preached to our young people in 9 years. We've had 24,300 Bible classes taught in Martinsburg Christian Academy. And just so you know, you put your kids in our academy, they're going to be taught that the Word of God is important. It is the top book in our curriculum, and I make no apologies about it. You see, He has increased, I believe, because of our learning the Word of God, our spreading the Word of God. But not only that, I think He has increased in these 9 years because of the souls of men that have been saved. 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, increase the fruits of your righteousness. You see that word, increase? The Bible said He must increase. And God tells us here that you and I, we should increase the fruits of our righteousness. Now, that ought to remind you of another verse if you've been in church any time at all. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. If you're here today and you're a guest, you sit in the midst of a soul-winning church. We don't just believe that people ought to get saved, we're a soul-winning church. Hey, when you agree to be a Sunday school teacher, an assistant Sunday school teacher, you have to agree to go soul winning around here. You sing in a choir, you agree to go soul winning around here. Hey, listen, singing in the choir is not more important than winning somebody to Jesus Christ. Oh no, not at all, not at all. We're to get people out of hell, we're to win people to Christ. Hey, if there's a heaven and if there's a hell and if they're real, we better keep getting people saved at the top of our list of priorities. See, we believe in a literal hell. We believe in a literal heaven. And we don't sugarcoat it around here. Churches everywhere, they say, boy, if you talk about hell, that's offensive. I'll tell you what's offensive. If somebody in a congregation dies and goes to hell, and the preacher didn't have enough backbone to stand up and tell them the truth about it before they died, now that's offensive to me. You say, well, in this society, they don't accept that well. This society would crucify Jesus all over again, but they would have done it quicker than in 33 and a half years. It'd take them about 33 and a half minutes to kill our Savior. I don't care what this society says. You see, I believe He has increased in our church in these 9 years. You say, why? Because of souls being saved. Keeping people out of hell is a priority. He must increase. In the last 9 years, we've had 8,220 people walk the aisles in a church service receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior. 2,500 of them got baptized. We do it always with the young people. We get their parents' permission before we dunk them in the tank. Mom and Dad might want to come by and take a look. We believe that baptism follows salvation, and everybody that's ever been saved ought to be baptized. And I believe when you do it God's way, He increases. The souls of men, He'll increase. I'm so proud of our teenagers. Now, I don't think they're perfect, but they're a good batch of young people. In 9 years, they've had over 5,000 people that they have won to Christ on their own. We started our ladies' Tuesday soul winning, and thank God for it. And Thursday night, our folks have seen 7,300 people saved. And hey, if you add the number of people saved in our church service, and you add it to the teenagers, and then you add it to the number of people on Thursday night been saved, there have been 21,982 people saved. You know, there's only 15,000 people in our town. That's pretty good percentages. That's pretty good percentages. When I was a kid, my dad used to take me to a little fishing hole. Wasn't a creek, wasn't a river, is a pond. Dad'd take me to that fishing hole. We'd start catching fish. Now, somebody asked me, they said, preacher, do you like to go fishing? No, I like catching fish. I'm only so patient so long. If something ain't biting, I'm going home where I can have a bite. I'm not going to stay there, but you let me catch some fish. I like that. Boy, we'd stick our pole in the water. We'd catch a lot of little, you might call them sunfish or, say it again. Bluegill. Yeah, a bluegill. That's what you'd probably call it. But we would catch bluegill after bluegill, me and my brothers. One day I asked my dad, I said, Dad, we catch fish after fish after fish in that little old pond. I said, Dad, are we ever going to catch all the fish out of there? He said, son, I've got a feeling that God can take a little pond and keep providing. And we'll just keep fishing every year. And I'll tell you all something. Our pond may not be the metropolis of a New York City. Our pond may not be the metropolis of a Los Angeles, California. But I know churches in New York City and churches in Los Angeles and churches in Chicago that don't get as many people saved as a little old Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia, where they come by the thousands and thousands and trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Hey, He must increase. I think of our missions program and how we've added our Hearts for Missions connections and how it's affected our missionaries. We've helped to start in these 9 years 14 churches. The Nathan Owens family right now on the mission field in Cameroon. Before long, another missionary from our church will head to Israel and start his church. And who could forget? Y'all remember the morning that Dr. Carl Hatch preached for us? Boy, he got up and gave his testimony and preached the Word of God. This place was packed out, wall-to-wall people. We gave the invitation. 104 adults came forward trusting Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He must increase. That's what it's all about. I'm so tired of these dead churches out there that think if you go by for a little while on Sunday morning and tote a Bible in and put a smile on your face and maybe sing one gospel song that you've done your duty for Jesus. No, you have not. We have a lost and dying world, and they're going to hell, and you and I are responsible to try to keep those people out of hell. He does not increase if people are not being saved. It's probably been about a year or so ago, we had 108 people walk the aisle in one service trusting Jesus as Savior. He must increase. You see, I believe that He has increased in this place in the effect that we have promoted the Word of God, and we've stood for the Word of God, and we preach it and we teach it and we distribute it. I believe that He has increased because of our love for the souls of men. And we want to make sure that people get saved. Hey, you say, we're having our kids crusade over here. You say, Brother Owens, what's it all about? Well, I want the kids to have some fun. I want them to enjoy church, but I'll tell you for sure, I hope it would be worth it all the thousands of dollars of money that we spend and all the inconvenience and all the decorations, it'd be worth it all if one little boy trusts Jesus. One, you say, all that money for one? Jesus would have died for one. It'd be worth it all. But let me say, He has increased, I believe, in our church because of our giving. Because of our giving. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is that withholdeth more than is meet, but is tendeth to poverty. Here the Bible says the way to get is to give. And I believe that our church is a giving church, and I thank God for you. I have a pastor friend here and other friends that are from around the country that have visited here today. Let me tell you something about my church. My church are some of the most giving people you'll ever meet in your life. For 9 years, your pastor has not had to stand up here and yell and scream at you because we can't pay the bills. God somehow keeps on paying the bills. Now, we try to be careful and we're trying to be wise with the finances, but thank God. Thank God that you have given. And thank God, folks, don't you give to this church because of me. You give to this church because He must increase. Don't you do it emotionally. You do it because it is the command of God that you tithe. That's why you do it. And if you'll do it for that reason, the church will always be fine. Always be fine. Oh, the generosity. Folks, do you realize we've now passed the $2.4 million amount in giving to missionaries? Woo! That's something. Think of that. Think of that. He must increase. God has blessed our bus ministry. Why? We're reaching the poor and we're giving to the needy. We're trying to meet the needs of people. And God said, there is that scattereth, yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. I believe that Jesus increases and God increases when His people are not stingy, when His people are giving people. You know, we now have 121 bus workers. 16 bus routes. We purchased and painted, paid them all off, all 18 of them. We've got our captain's meeting every week. In 9 years, we brought in 179,985 riders. We had 19 CDL drivers. Gave away 1,053 turkeys to hungry people. Got a few turkeys in the building right now. Any given Sunday, this church will have 1,000 people in Sunday school, and we'll have 400 or 500 that will come in on buses. You say, well, you're trying to make your attendance look big. No, I'm trying to get people saved. We're trying to feed the hungry and put shoes on boys and girls' feet. We're trying to make it so some little boys and girls that would never have a mom and dad tell them about Jesus can hear about Jesus. We have kids that come in here out of some of those hollers. Poor. Never even heard about Jesus. Yeah, we're going to run them buses. And I'll say it again because I want to keep it qualified in your mind. Gas prices are high, but I'll shut the air conditioning off before I'll shut the buses down. Why? He must increase. He must increase. He must increase, and the Bible tells us that increase comes by giving, and Bible tells us that increase comes by salvation, and increase comes by the Word of God. But not only that, I think He has increased because of our love for all men. I want Him to increase. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Folks, if Jesus is going to increase, if God's going to increase, and I think He has, I think one of the reasons He has in this church in these 9 years that I've been your pastor and prior to that, but may I say, in these years where I've been your pastor, I believe we've been a loving church. Yes. We hate sin. Just in case you wonder, we hate sin and we preach against sin. We don't sugarcoat it. We don't apologize for it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And you'll hear preaching around here if you say, boy, I really like this sermon this morning. Well, you might come back next Sunday morning and we go through a little Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde kind of a thing because I throw a fit And I'll preach against sin. And I'll say it's wrong. I got people mad at me right now. You know, I preached a hot one here a week or so ago. I got people mad at me. But listen to it. They were mad at Jesus too. But we hate sin. We're going to preach against sin. No matter what the critics say, we hate it. But let me say, we love the sinner. And some of you need to get that real clear in your thinking. Some of you little immature. You tend to hate sin and then you hate the sinner. Jesus didn't hate the sinner. Jesus loved the sinner. Jesus hated sin. So when you hear Brother Owens up here throwing a fit about morality and staying clean and pure, and when you young people hear me say, stay virgin until the day you're married, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the devil and I'm mad at immorality. And I'm going to stay mad. When you hear Brother Owens preach against the liquor traffic and the booze, I'm going to preach against it. I think it's sent out of hell. But let me say to that person that sits out there today, you say, Brother Owens, the bottle has got me and I don't know what to do. I'm not mad at you. I'll be your friend. We'll love you. We'll help you. But I'm going to tell you, Budweiser will make you dumber, not wiser. But I believe that I believe He has increased. Why? Because of our love for all men. We've had some, you heard me say earlier, the numbers that God allows us to reach. What's it all about? Getting the Word of God out. What's it all about? Getting people saved. What's it all about? It's all about making sure that we are a giving church. And a giving church, we've got to give of ourselves and reach people. But it's a love for all men. Listen to this. In 9 years, we've had 351,718 people come to Sunday school so our Sunday school teachers could love on them in 9 years. Did you hear that number? 351,718 people came to our Sunday school so a Sunday school teacher could say, we love you. 392,050 came to our Sunday morning church services. 216,350 came to our Sunday night church services where they could hear that God loves them and that we love them. Wednesday night, 186,946 people constantly. And around here, you don't go long without your pastor praying a prayer like this. Oh God, let the people know that I love them. I might not know the Bible like I should. And I know I don't always lead you like I should. You're going to go long and far to find a preacher that'll love you like I do. I know I'm not what I need to be. I know it. I know it. I know it. And some of you are disappointed in me, but I love you. I love the people in this building. I love you whether you're right with God or you're not. Oh, thank God. Do you realize 1,147,000 opportunities in 9 years have people been loved through Sunday school, morning church, evening church, and Wednesday night church? He must increase. He must increase. We have 78 Sunday school classes, 177 teachers and assistant teachers, 21 adult classes. And let me tell you what it's all about. Getting the love of God out to people. He must increase. I was thinking this year we started another special needs Sunday school class. True Treasures. Mrs. Millirons, where are you at? Brother Millirons, they might be over. True Treasures, that's what we call it. You know, we have our adult men's Sunday school class for the special needs and our adult ladies' Sunday school class for the special needs and the children's class for special needs. This year we started a special needs class for the teenagers. You say, why? Because the special needs teenagers in our church are as important as the boys and girls that get to go to Martinsburg Christian Academy. Somebody needs to help those teenagers. Somebody needs to help them. You say, well, you know, you have these bus kids and these special needs. You got any normal people in our church? Well, we don't want you. Because in God's eyes, those are normal people. We're just a bunch of sinners saved by grace, my friend. There's no class system around here. I mean, we all deserve to go to the same place. And if you're going to heaven, we're all going for the same reason. And it had not a thing to do with us. He must increase. He must increase. Boy, I'll tell you, you realize that if every one of our Sunday school classes will have four activities a year, this church, which I recommend, we have 300 activities a year to give people something good to do with their life. I believe He must increase. our mother-daughter banquets where we teach moms to love their daughters and daughters to love their moms. There have been over 2,000 moms and daughters attend the mother-daughter banquets in 9 years. We need to reclaim the backslidden. Why? He must increase. He must increase. And may I say, in regard to the love of God, I wish I couldn't say this, but do you know that in the 9 years I've been your pastor, we have conducted 90 funeral sermons? 90 funeral services. Isn't that amazing? I guess we've got a big old band of people over on the other side in glory looking down and just waiting for us to get to the other side. He must increase. He must increase. That's what it's really all about. Before you lose sight of this thing, hey bus captain, before you lose sight of what it's really all about, it's not all about your name being at the top of the bus list and that you had the most on your bus route or you had the biggest Sunday school class. What is it all about? It's all about Jesus. He must increase. And He increases. Why and how? By the promoting of the Word of God. How does He increase? By seeing the souls of men born again. That's why Jesus came. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He must increase. How? By Christians giving of themselves. Remember, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's how He'll increase. He must increase. How? He'll increase by you and I as His representatives loving and our love increasing and abounding and we learn to love one another and love all men. I believe He has increased, number five, here at our church because of our joy in Him. I believe that Christian people are supposed to be happy people. And I believe that we have a happy church. You don't have to be here long until you see the laughter. You don't have to be here long until you see the joy. It's here. It's different. It's not put on. It's real. You see, we have this attitude here at our church. It's not a matter of we have to go to church. It's that we get to go to church. We know where we could be. Folks, I wish you realized. I drove by downtown the other day, seen a guy almost laying in the gutter. And I said to myself, if it were not for the grace of God, that would be me. That would be me. And it would be you too, my friend. Boy, it's not a matter of I've got to serve God. It's I get to serve God. It's not a matter of I've got to go to church. It's I get to go to church. And I would recommend that every last one of us keep that attitude in our testimony because that's what makes a church happy. That's what gives a church the joy of the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 29:19, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord. See, hear that word increase? He must increase. He must increase. And I believe He increases when our testimony is of the joy of the Lord. We've laughed. Oh, there's some of you, I wish I could. I can't. I wish you could hear the best singing group in our church. They sing a song called the Redneck 12 Days of Christmas. You talk about powerful music. It'll change your life. You'll walk away saying, I ain't ever heard anything like that right there before. I promise you. I promise. Y'all remember, and I was just thinking about some of the fun that we've had and the joy. Remember when Brother Tom Tennis was baptizing the lady back here and she had a wig on and he didn't know it? Remember when he took her under and her wig come off and he didn't know what to do so he flopped it back on top of her head backwards? She looked like Thing from the Addams Family. Hilarious. And then I remember the time he was baptizing and he got the baptismal sayings mixed up with the Lord's Supper sayings. He took somebody under and he said, now drink ye all of it. And then who can forget the time right before church, Brother Nash blew his pants out in the back. And you know Brother Nash, always willing to go the extra mile to fix something right. So he tried to staple them shut. Well, and I believe this. I think we have the finest evangelistic song leader in the United States of America. I have no doubt about that. But when he leads singing, he's not this, you know, he's not a weenie song leader. You want people to sing big, lead big. You want something big to happen, lead big. Well, he stands up, he gets to pumping. He's got it. Well, you're not supposed to do that if you stapled your britches tight in the back. He got to going. Something started ripping in his pants. Well, it's his pants ripping is what I mean. And before long, those cheap staples busted loose. So the choir sang the rest of their song doing this. Oh my. Y'all remember that skit that we did? That we did it once at the East Coast Ladies Conference, where it was a preparation of the turkey for Thanksgiving, where we put that turkey on the head. I'll just never forget that. Every time I think of Brother Nash, I think of two things: a godly man that looks like a turkey. Oh my, the joy. You see, I believe he's increased because there's a church that's not afraid to fight sin, but we're a happy church. Don't you, hey, there's some of you, you're letting the devil tamper with your joy. You're letting him tamper with your joy. Let me tell you something. God's still on the throne. The Bible's still God's word. And let me tell you something. God still forgives. You say, Brother Owens, right now I'm down a little bit. I've done something I shouldn't have done. Get back on topside. Take it to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you, and he will. He gets amnesia when he forgives. And so there's some of you, you're the one that's helping someone lose their joy because you can't forgive them for a sin. God can forgive you, you big lummox. You could forgive somebody else. Remember, Brother Randy Summer said it earlier. Remember, we got them red, white, and blue buses, shot them down to Washington, D.C., surrounded the White House, won 1,630-some people to Christ in 4 hours. Boy, what joy. Boy, what joy, what delight. And I believe that he is increased. That's what we want. We want him to increase. We want him to increase because of the exaltation of the Word of God. We want him to increase because souls being saved. And we want him to increase because of charity and our giving him. We want him to increase because of our love for all men. And we want him to increase because we are a happy people. We are joy-filled people. May I say, I believe also he is increased because of the strength that we had found in him for our burdens. I have to tell you this. Speaking of increase, I went to the doctor and I had a little checkup. And my blood pressure was a little high. My cholesterol was a little high. And I'd gained some weight. Well, a lot. Wasn't feeling so hot. And I was dreary and I was down. My doctor said, now look, eating right is not that complicated. And I could help you solve some of these problems if you just eat right. He said, oh, you don't need a 25-page book on your diet. He said, all you got to do is eat and think in colors. You eat those things that are green, yellow, and red. If you'll eat like that, you'll get healthier. I went home and had the biggest bag of M&Ms you ever tasted in your life. And I feel better. He made it easy for me. I believe that Jesus has increased. And I'll tell you why. I believe he's increased because of the strength that we have found in him in our burdens. Isaiah 40:29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. I think there are some of you that he has been glorified when the burden hit. And you got knocked down. You got knocked down hard and low. And you were hurting. And you looked up and said, oh God, I don't know if I can take this. And you gathered strength from the God of all strength. Because the Bible says he giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. I believe our God has increased because of our burdens. I think there are times when we were knocked down and we did not know how in our own power and our own strength. How would we go on? I've faced things in these 9 years here as your pastor. I thought, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can take it. And that's right where he wanted me.
He wanted me to the point where I needed Him. He wanted me to the point where Jeff Owens wasn't adequate and Jeff Owens' character wasn't adequate and human power would not do, and I had to reach up and grab a hold of the everlasting arm and said, "You gotta see us through." And He did. And you've seen it and you've been through it and I've been through it. We've rallied together and we said, "God, we want You to increase. Use our testimony. Help us to survive this life." The burdens. Remember when we had the great idea to take the roof off? check the weather. It's going to be as dry as all get out. Take the entire roof off, put a new roof on. We were ready. We no sooner got that roof off, up over that stupid mountain, right over there came the biggest thunderstorm you ever seen in your life. It rained and rained until it made it look like Noah's Ark was a raft inside our church. I can't remember how many gallons. 7,000 gallons. I forget how many gallons and gallons. Ruined our pews, ruined our carpet. We had to go over and have church in the gymnasium. But you remember? Didn't stop us. Didn't stop us. If God wants it to rain, let it rain, God. We was over in that gym singing, "Here comes Jesus, a walking on the water." You remember? Amen. That's what it's all about, church. It's not all about me and you. It's about the power of God. It's about God's strength coming upon us and you and I doing what we don't qualify to do, but He lets us do. Oh my. Oh my. I remember the burdens. Our loved ones that have passed on. I think those that have been sick, and that C word cancer that's affected us, but we've got to keep going. Heartaches. I've watched you shed your tears. You've watched me shed mine. But I really do believe He has increased. He has increased. There's been a price to pay, but He has increased at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I also believe this, and I'm finished in just a moment. I believe He has increased because of our faith in Him in these 9 years. Luke chapter 17, verse number 5 says, "And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." There's that word again, increase. I believe that you cannot, I don't believe that you could add to the glory that He is, but I think we can add to the glory that we give Him. And I really truly believe that this church has been a church of faith. And as a result of that faith, that our God has increased. We've kept going no matter what. We by faith, we bought that little building out here that we now house our Spanish department in. We by faith built that 25,000 square foot building over there, a couple million dollars. Hey, when money wasn't to be had, we built that great big new building over here. We bought 7 mobile classroom units and office units. We own them all. We own them all. We remodeled our school office and we started the Old Paths Conference and our youth conference and Old Paths Baptist College, and we started 68 new Sunday school classes and 10 new bus routes. We by faith. Hey, and we're getting ready to launch into our 10th year. Here's what we're going to do. You know, remember, we're going to reconstruct our balcony some and make it so that folks up there can see a little better. You can't, if you're sitting, you usually can't see the people that cover this altar. And we want you to be able to see it. We're going to fix that up. I think we're going to see more people saved this year. I don't think God's finished. I think in a little while, I believe this. I believe by faith, in a little while, we're going to give an altar call. And I'm going to say, if you're not saved, why don't you come get born again? Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to get saved. We're going to start some new Sunday school classes and some new ministries. You see, not many weeks ago, on Mother's Day, I showed you all the new sewing centers that we've purchased for our Christian school. And folks, if you're here today as a guest, just so you know, we're still training our young ladies to be moms and training them to be wives around here. And we're going to train them on how to sew, and their home ec class, we're taking it to a new level. We're going to have to change the acoustics on our platform, folks. Most of you, if you told the truth, you can't hear the choir sometimes out there. You struggle to hear it. And we've done everything that we know to do. And we're going to have to do some things to change the acoustics up here. Our choir works way too hard and sings some very dynamic, powerful songs, but you can't always hear them. And so we're going to have to change some of that up here. And we're going to this year. We're going to finish the basement of the new building over here. That way we can just keep on going forward. You know, we couldn't get our dormitory project started for the new building. So we're hoping that we're going to use
some of our existing facilities, and we're going to do that. And we're getting ready to have our second annual youth conference. And hey, I'm excited. The other day, we now have it in place where we're going to have a variety of musical instruments, and the kids at Martinsburg Christian Academy next semester will have access to private lessons on a variety of instruments. Oh, I'm excited about that. On our 10th anniversary, next year, at this time, we're going to set a goal of having 1,700 people in church on one day. And that's our goal. So you be praying about it. I'm giving you a whole year in advance for two reasons. You're going to help me do it, and I'm going to need your money. The previous record is 1,609, and next year we're going to break that record. But let's remember something. He is to increase. But wait, second part of that verse. And we are to decrease. May I recommend to you that if you want Him to increase, that you decrease. You don't have to get a pat on the back. You don't have to get a pat on the back. So I don't think anybody appreciates me. He does. He does. I say put your petty gripes aside and lift Him up. Lift Him up. Get over that. Let's lift Him up. There's somebody in here, I beg of you, there are people in here, you're not right with God, you're backslidden. I want to recommend to you that you walk this aisle today and you get yourself right with God. It's the best thing you could do, and I want you to do it for you, but even more so, I want you to do it so that He will increase. There are people in here, you're backslidden right now, and I can't use you in the church, but I need to. We need your help. If He's going to increase, it's going to take the whole team. The whole team. He must increase. 9 years ago, the deacon board of this church contacted me and asked me if I would become the pastor here. Had I chosen, I could have been set for life. The place where I was did not want me to go. And I came here with one goal, and that is this. I want to please God. I don't want to be famous. I just want to please God. I wish all of us would pull together today and say, that's our goal, preacher. That's our goal. That's what we want for our church. That He, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior, that He would increase, and that you and I would decrease. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to recommend to you that you get born again. If you're here today and you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, you need to get saved. You need to get born again. The Bible teaches everyone's a sinner. The Bible teaches there's a penalty for sin, and that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. There's never been a time in your life when you've asked Him to save you. You need to get that cared for. Who here today would say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died today I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for a fact. I don't know I'm saved, but it sounds so good. It's what I need. I need to be born again, Brother Owens. I want to be saved. I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to get saved. I want to become a part of something like this. And I want Him to increase by knowing that I'm a born again Christian. Who here would say, preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. That's what I need. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. I see another hand. You say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. That's what I need. God bless you. I see that hand. Who else? Say, I'm not born again. I need to be saved. Pray for me. Those of you that raised your hand, in a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. In just a few minutes, we're all going to stand. In just a few minutes, the choir will sing. The men that are sitting on this platform will step off the platform and post themselves down front of each aisle on the lower level. And if you're not saved, you leave your place in the balcony. You leave your place on the lower floor. You walk down an aisle, walk up to one of the fine men at the aisle and say, I want to be born again. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be born again so that when you die, you go to heaven. Oh, would Jesus be increased? If it was your soul that was saved today, many raised your hand. We want you to respond. If you're here today and you've been saved and you've never made it public, you ought to come and let us help you to do so. If you're here today and you've been saved and you've not followed the Lord in believer's baptism after your salvation, you ought to come and let us help you to get baptized. Somebody here today, you're away from God. You're backslidden. You're not what you ought to be. You're finding yourself a bit unusable by God, not because of Him, but because of your testimony. Somebody ought to rededicate your life today and say, God, I'm getting some things straightened out because I want You to be magnified and I want You to be glorified. I want You to increase. Who here today would say, preacher, that's me. I'm away from God. I need to get something straightened out today. Would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. You come and you use this altar if you need to. Somebody here just needs to push the reset button about what it's really all about. It's all about Him increasing and us decreasing. Shouldn't matter to you who got what position, who got what praise, because it's really not all about you and it's really not all about me. It's really all about Jesus Christ and Him increasing. Who here would say, Brother Owens, God has spoken to my heart in a special way today, and I know He has. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me. Hands everywhere. If you need this altar, we're going to have an altar call. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time. Let's stand to our feet. As you stand, choir, sing a song of invitation. If you're not saved, you come. You come if you're not saved. You raise your hand and said, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. You come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Will you come? You come. I need an assistant pastor at that aisle right there. I don't have an assistant pastor at the aisle, so if you're out there and you're not at an aisle, this one right here. If you've been saved and never baptized, you come. If you never made public your salvation, thank you, Brother John. You can cover it. Thank you. Somebody here needs to rededicate your life for the primary reason that He needs to increase. Your life was not to be lived by you and for you. Your life was to be lived for Him by you. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you've been saved, if you want, you come. If you've never been baptized, we'll show you what to do. We'll tell you what to do. We have people that are very capable with the Word of God. They can show you exactly what the Scripture says about trusting Christ. Name takers, you get the names quickly. Soul winners, you take your time and do it right. You take all the time that it takes for them to understand the gospel. Somebody here needs to come and get saved. Somebody here needs to make public a salvation. Somebody needs to rededicate their life. Somebody needs to refocus on the fact that He is to increase and we are to decrease. We keep those buses rolling because He must increase. We got to keep the church doors open. Why? He must increase. You got to come soul winning. Why? Because He must increase. You let the devil steal your joy? Some of you letting the devil sour your attitude. Keep singing, choir. Must increase. You need to read your Bible. Why? So He'll increase in your life and in your testimony. You ought to be in church. Why? That He might increase in the influence in your life. Somebody here needs to reach up today. You feel like you're at the bottom and the burden has you weighed down. God may have you right where He wants you because He wants you to depend on His power, not your own power. Reach up and grab a hold of that everlasting arm and say, God, by Thy power, I will have victory and you give Him credit for it, because He must increase and we must decrease. You come. It's not too late. There are people being saved, people being baptized. One more time through this song. One more time through this song. But don't let that relax you. That doesn't mean we're done. Somebody here needs to be saved. And when I said one more time through the song, you said if I can make it through one more verse and sit down, I don't have to go forward. I don't think God's going to leave you be. You need to come. Dozens of people getting saved today. I'd recommend it to you. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. God bless you, choir. God bless you, congregation.